Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's us again.
Hello again. Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast about scents and etiquette.
And boys.
I wasn't going to say it. This is a wedding podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Please.
Okay.
It's Wednesday and I've been out of my fucking mind all week. So
why? It's only Wednesday.
It's it is all self-inflicted and it's boring and I will not complain because I brought it on myself. I just have been very busy, which is great. But yeah, I got to work this morning and whatever. It's just, I've just not had a minute to breathe and that's fine.
Wow. I'm the opposite.
All I've been doing is breathing.
All I've been doing is breathing and nothing. Just kidding. That's not true. It's a lot of me just whenever I have weeks where there's like 2 days in a row where I don't have things scheduled, I panic.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I don't know. I structure my days around the things I have to do. So I'm like, oh, if I have an event at night, I have such and such amount of time to get this one thing done. But if you don't give me those parameters, I will never do the thing because I'm like, I don't have the structure. It's like how they say, if you want something done, give it to a busy person.
Well, if you have 2 days with nothing going on, you panic. Whereas I remove the middleman and am just always panicking. So
it's not that I like, there are definitely things I need to be doing. Like I need to be doing my manuscript edits, which I am. But like, I'm like rereading the original drafts and I'm like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
Yeah.
So it's like kind of just a horror to unearth them, even though it was only what, like last September when I submitted them. And I'm like, what horrors lie in these drafts?
You know, it's always weird to read your shit back, especially when I know September's not a long time, but it's enough time to go back to something and be like, I'm a fully different bitch by now.
No, completely. I feel like a totally different person now. So I'm just like, what the heck?
I mean, I'm a big, big believer that groundbreaking opinion here, but like that as a writer, even if it's like editorial or just like brand copywriting, like you will always get the best work if you let me sleep on it one night, you know, even if it's just a draft of basically nothing and I go home, look at it first thing the next day, I'll make one tweak that makes it so much better and then turn it in. But that's how I like to work. And anytime someone's like, I need this ASAP, I need this by the end of the day, I'm like, that's not how this happens. Like you
and
can't
it's
just
going to be shit.
Well, yeah. So you can't point at someone and be like, okay, be creative. And I don't know. It's like, do you want it done or do you want it good? But things like that, like you're doing, not that I've ever written a fucking book, but even like I'll look at an old article I've written to reference something to like grab a link. And I'm like, huh. So that's what I said. You know,
well, that's like, what I tried. Huh. Oh my God. I was at the point of, I don't know why I'm like panicking. There's no really tight deadlines at this point, but like I had a panic moment where I think I was just hitting a wall with like one particular chapter that I just couldn't parse like how to fix this. And like, I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll do what all the tech bros do. Drugs.
I wondered if we were going to get, okay, take it away, Sable.
attempted to micro D.
Stop talking in halves. You took mushrooms.
Just one mushroom. Just a mushroom. A tiny
one.
Was
it like a chocolate?
No, it was like a pill, like a capsule.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're cutting this out.
It totally backfired. Fuck tech bros who like lie about this shit. Because it was like, I love microdosing for creativity. It really makes me good at the things that I do. And I'm like, no, this did not make me good at the things that I do. But what it did make me was like a cartoon character just walking around town. I don't know why. I was like, I need to be moving. I need to be walking around. So I just walked. It was a really nice day in the neighborhood. It was like Saturday. Everybody was out and about because it's a weekend and a nice day.
Wait, I thought it was yesterday.
Maybe it was Sunday or Monday. It was Monday because it was President's Day. It was like,
you're right, it was Monday. Okay.
A fake Monday. Mm-hmm. And then all I did was walk around and spend money. Like, since when are mushrooms capitalist? What the hell?
I could tell by that mirror selfie you posted and just the way you were smiling. I was like, she is high.
It was silly. It was very silly. I know. I found this dope sweater, though, at a thrift store. So I'm very pleased about that.
That, like, Pooji sweater?
Yeah. Well, that's what everybody was saying. And then I was like, what are you talking about? And then I looked it up. And I was like, oh, it's not Pooji. Yeah. It's, like, some other random-ass vintage nothing brand. But
it's cute, though.
Yeah, it was very cute. I was very pleased to find it. But I was walking around. I don't know why I was just following my feet, and I ended up at the Glossier store on North 6th.
God, this gets worse and worse.
I know. And then I just like walking around. It just like smelled nice. There was like, they were like Abercrombie Fiercing the store where you just could fucking smell Glossier you pumping out of the store. So I was like following my nose, and I was like, it smells like girls in here. And then it was busy. But, like, I don't understand why anyone fucking buys anything in there, because you have to, like, track down a pink jumpsuit and be like, put into the iPad the thing I want, and then someone else will, like, bring it at a counter. I think it's stupid, personally. But, like, I don't know. The whole time I was like, do they know that I'm high? Then I was like, no. You guys need help, not me.
This is a rehab podcast.
No, I think it's mushrooms are fine. You can do mushrooms. Do a mushroom. Try it out.
No, don't do drugs. I'm not doing this. We do not have a legal team. We cannot be out here.
I don't think it's illegal. It's not illegal to say that.
It's illegal to me.
Anyway, the myths are false. It did not make me more creative, but it did make me think I'm a lot funnier than I am, which is a danger.
You're pretty.
But funny. I was having a great time just like hanging out with myself. So in that regard, a nice day was had. But otherwise, nothing got fucking done.
Have you done any of your manuscript edits since then? Yes. On mushrooms, hopefully.
I have.
Great.
And it's a slow chip. It's just a slog. But
okay,
we'll see. I don't know. It's always weird to work on a long form project because it's just like you at home alone.
Yeah.
Doing this, not having anything to show for it until like several years later.
That is a scary process to me.
Yeah. It's weird. It feels very odd. I guess because we both, you know, came up in the digital age where you write an article and then like 2 weeks later it comes out and you're like, here it is. And
or like the next day.
Yeah. And then like your dopamine receptors are just like flooded that day. And then the next day you're like empty again.
Yeah.
I guess I have to write another article so I can share it.
I made a deal with like myself, the devil, and God that if I was going to do editorial this year, it was going to be only shit that I actually wanted to write about no matter what. And I'm doing that. And I'm right now I've been juggling like my one big consistent freelance client and another one that is big and consistent but newer, which has been great. But I have been working on this thing that I've been telling you about, and it's coming together well, but slowly but surely, because it's like it is their priority, so it's always the thing I tackle last. So by the time I open the document, it's like 11 p.m and I'm like running on fumes, and I'm like, does any of this make any fucking sense?
And like,
it's good, like it's good, I'm happy with it, and I'm happy with how it's going, but it's just like a slow roll. But I'm like a third of the way through it, and I was trying to like make this section gel with itself last night, and I just like couldn't get it. And I knew, like, I kept being like, it's good, and it wasn't the content, it was like the hierarchy of it, the ordering, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's good, and I was like, this isn't right, this doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
And
it's very when you know, even with your own writing. Yeah.
And like, I laid down at 12:30 and I shut my eyes and I was like, I've got it. So I like whipped out my phone again. I opened a fucking Google Doc on my phone and was like copying and pasting these big chunks. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like, I feel great about it now, but now I'm afraid to open the document.
After a point, self-editing, you just have to stop. You just have to decide this is good enough.
And then, just have to like put everything aside on a weekend and look at it with fresh eyes. You know what I mean?
It also can't that sleep priority. On it. Yeah, exactly, for sure. Exactly. Yeah. I need to start pitching more editorial things because I realize that I'm poor and I'm like, wait, I need to spend at least $20 a day on treats. So
I had my 7 croissants a day.
We need to refill the coffers here because, oh my God.
I actually got pitched an idea today that I really love, and I went back and forth on it. I kind of said no. And then right before I sent the email, I was like, no, I actually do want to write this.
Yeah.
But I was like, I know timelines are, I know you want this soon. How's the end of March? And they're like, let's get back to you. And I was like, okay. Which is fair, but I'm crossing my fingers for that.
Yeah. I recently turned down an assignment that was a lot of money because it's a brand that I told myself, I'm like, I don't think I want to work with them again because they're so fucking annoying.
Oh, I know who.
And I'm like, it's just not worth it. And then, like, as soon as I like get the emails, I just like am filled with dread.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is spiritually draining. But like the fee that they proposed for this, I was like, fuck.
Wait, that's we can edit it out. How much was
okay.
it? You said no to that?
It's never just the asks. It's the thousands and thousands of email threads and just like the millions of approvals. And I'm like, I haven't even got in yet. And like, I'm already just dreading this so much. So to punish myself for turning down that much money, I'm like, okay, I need to pitch a fuck ton of articles that would amount to this money. And that's not actually that hard to do.
I'm going to cut out everything you said to just right there.
Okay.
I just think that's the only way we're going to get out of this alive.
Yes.
I applaud you for taking care of yourself. And that's where I'm going to end that sentence. You and I look at things, and I mean this genuinely, it sounds like a joke and it's not. You and I look at things so differently.
I know,
however,
I know.
However, you have taught me to be much more of a bulldog in like every sense of like asks, negotiations. Mm-hmm. And like, nobody fucked with me before, but now they certainly don't fuck with me. So thank you, Sable Young.
I mean, not for nothing, but like, in media, we're constantly underpaid, constantly undervalued. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not even that good shit. Like what is offered to us is not that exciting in the long run. So part of me is just like, look, if I don't want to do this and this isn't doing that much for me, like either pay me more or fuck off.
Yeah.
And it's worked out pretty well. I'm not going to say.
It's true.
So don't do shit that you don't want to do for cheap. Do shit you don't want to do for extremely expensive. Only.
Well, that's also like what I always tell people. It's like, this is a brand. Like, if this is like the small business that you frequent, that you see the owners every day, and you see like the money being handed over, fine. Like, no, this is a brand.
Yeah.
Ask if it's like four times what they're offering.
If it's a true collaboration with like somebody you actually support and like believe in, cool. That's great. But dude, if it's just like a fucking shell company brand.
Yeah.
Who's going to make more money off of you than you'll ever fucking make from them.
Exactly.
Then
always remember, these brands are not your friends.
No. And I have no fucking aspirations to moonlight as an influencer. In this age, in this economy of de-influencing.
Oh my God. We're not going down
that
road.
Your tweet. I loved your tweet.
Oh my God. I'm just like, shut up. Shut up. Oh my God. Like, congratulations on your new word of the week. Like, this is still like, so we're talking shit about influencers, but now we're talking like, but now we're de-influencing, which is still influencing. It's 2015 all over again. Benefits back, Tarte's flying people to Dubai, Jeffree Star's a racist. Like, we're hating influencers while sucking their dicks. I'm like, no, like, time is a flat circle. YouTube's back. Oh God.
It's true. It's true. There's no such thing as de-influencing.
And I'm like,
every post is a performance and an ad.
And this is a genuine question. And like, I would never, you know, talk shit about Gen Z or whatever, because like, they're very smart. Shout out to them. But like, is it because they didn't see it the first time? Like, do they not know who like James Charles is? I don't know. But I'm just like, oh, you're not doing what you think you're doing. And you think you're doing so much.
There's not a lot of critical thought.
I'm just like, you know, you can actually form your own opinion, right? Like, it doesn't, you don't have to see it on a TikTok.
Everything is very reactionary in that world.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not like responding, they're reacting.
Okay, I've got to get off this topic. I'm mad. I've been mad all week.
Oh no, we've triggered Tynan. We'll bring it back to the podcast. Tynan, what do you smell like today? Quick.
I referenced this last week and I said I was going to talk about it next time we gathered here. Mm-hmm. So I am wearing Exalté by Funmi Monet, our friend, produced by Bella Aura. And I do not know what Bella Aura is, respectfully, but I should not talk shit. And I'm not, because they're the ones who actually sent this to me. So they reached out to me maybe 2 weeks ago and they were like, hey, do you want this fragrance? And I was like, yes, of course. So they sent it along. I was really excited about it. We had Funmi back, I would say, early fall. If you haven't heard, I actually don't know when, maybe summer. If you haven't heard the episode, go back and listen. She is fantastic. And follow her fragrance content. No shade. I really hate fragrance content online. And not because we do this. I just, like, I don't think it's interesting. But I think Funmi is fantastic at it. She collaborated with this brand, Bella Aura. She talks about it on our episode. The scent is called Exalté. Respectfully, I didn't know what to expect. I know that Fumi only operates from a level of excellence. I had no doubts in her, but you never know when. I also don't know, and I should have done my research and I didn't, and I'm sorry. I don't know if Bella Aura does fragrances. I know that they do skincare. I don't think fragrances is their thing. So it's like you have, you know, a very educated influencer who knows what she likes, but is not a perfumer working with a brand that's not a perfume brand. Like, what are we going to get? Yeah. I pulled this out of the carton last Friday, sprayed it on, and I was fucking floored. Like, it took my breath away. I really genuinely love this fragrance. Like, all I can say about it is that if you take the headiness and punchiness of the Fenty Parfum, but brought it back from being so earthy and teethy and brought like a really honeyed, ambery, floral, like YSL Libra into it and melded those two things together, it would be that. And I hesitate to say that because I'm worried that I'm making it sound generic, because it is not, but it is sort of that, like, sort of same two ideas of like a really boisterous, a really bold, just amber floral, spicy, really spicy sort of vanilla moment. It is sort of like a shit on shit fragrance. Like, I can't decide if it's like a deconstructed scent where you get all the notes independently of each other or get them all at once. I think you get them all at once, but it sort of comes at you differently throughout the day in this really beautiful, like, faceted amber diamond. God, I don't know. I just, like, sorry I ever doubted you, Fumi Monet, the god. Like, it is fantastic. Because of this, you know, I don't often repeat what I wear if I can help it, because there's always something new to wear. I have been repeating this. I will continue to. I really, really love it. I'm so impressed with that. I can't stop talking or thinking about it. That's what I'm wearing.
Wow. I don't think you ever doubted from me. Or at least I didn't. Yeah. I didn't hear it, if you did.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. To answer my own questions, as I'm looking directly at the landing page, Bella Aura is a skincare brand. And aside from this, perfume doesn't seem to be in their collection at all. But I will say that however they pulled this off, they really pulled it off. It is fantastic.
10 out of 10. Exalté.
10 out of 10. Exalté. Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
So I recently purchased a couple decants off of ScentSplit.
Wait, you texted me about ScentSplit and I just like went with it. I don't know what that is.
It's this website. They have a bunch of niche perfume brands. A lot of the types of stuff you would find on like Lucky Scent.
Okay.
And you can buy samples in different sizes.
Okay.
So they have like 2 milliliter, 5 milliliter, 9, or like the whole bottle. But what I think is great is that you can get like five. This is like a 5 milliliter bottle. And then I got like a travel size.
Five mil is good.
Yeah, you get a good amount.
That's essentially a comp file, right? Maybe a little smaller?
A little smaller. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think a comp file is like 15. I don't know. So I wanted to try some BDK scents and some Obvious Parfum scents. So I'm wearing Un Vanille from Obvious Parfums. It's a vanilla, in case that wasn't clear. They're a French brand. They're kind of newish, I think. And their whole thing is every fragrance is just like the name of the hero note. There's Un Vanille, Un Rose. I also got Un Musk, obviously. I'm a musk girl. So I'm wearing Un Vanille. I actually discovered these in a shop in my neighborhood. But then I was like, Sable, stop buying full-ass bottles of perfume that are like over $100. Like, just stop it. So that's where the decants come in handy. And it's a very simple, soft vanilla. Like, there's not a whole lot of fuss or faff about it. It's just like a vanilla, but it's kind of like almost like a dry blonde wood vanilla. It's not super, it's not in like the sweet, desserty direction. It's more like in a little bit of a woody direction, which is nice.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
It's really great. Like, in fact, if I didn't know it was vanilla and I smelled it, I wouldn't automatically assume it was vanilla, but.
Nice.
It's really nice. My only thing is that it's a little transparent, so it doesn't seem to last very long on skin. Because I've been repeatedly spraying it on my skin all day. And it's like still there, but it gets like fainter and fainter. So there's that. But I also feel like they're meant to wear on the transparent side. I don't think they're meant to be super heavy.
Okay.
but that's my assumption. Also because I bought the vanilla in musk, and musk being a naturally kind of transparent scent, like I can't really test that against like the patchouli or the rose, but it's really nice. I wish they made 10 milliliters and I would buy them from the brand, not from some like sneaky parser. Sorry. But
yeah, it does seem like
it feels a little bootleg.
Yeah, it feels bootleg. It seems like a quandary of ethics, but also I'm happy it exists.
It's so convenient. I'm happy it exists too, but at the same time, I'm like, it comes in a nice little bottle, and like the label looks very like scientific, almost like Lalabo-y.
Okay.
And it, yeah. You know, just as the name, blah blah blah, rebottled. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the legal ethics are about reselling in that format.
They have a pretty, because after you put me on, I looked it up. And they have a pretty hefty legal disclaimer on the site. So I'm sure that's their workaround. But yeah, I don't know how that's able to happen. Oh, let's ask our lawyer friends.
Let's ask our lawyer friends in a future episode.
Maybe we do have a legal team.
Legal team, yeah. TBD. But
see if they can get you out of jail with intent to sell.
But I also thought, like, what a great way to not have to, like, resort to dupery.
And honestly, that 5 mil is going to last you so long.
Yeah. I've been spraying it on myself like several times a day, and I've like barely made a dent in it. So.
And what is a 5 mil going to run you?
It depends on the brand, but for the obvious parfums, this one was like $15.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Amazing.
Not bad.
Well, I am very excited about our guest today.
I know. I feel like this has been in the making for like 2 years.
It has really been in the making for a while now. I don't know when I discovered imaginary authors. It was, I think, probably in like the dawn of this podcast, perhaps before we even started. I'm not sure, but certainly around that time. So probably 2.5 years ago. And I've been a huge fan of imaginary authors, our guests, ever since. And I really, not that I, you know, I really mean that. For those who don't know, Imaginary Authors has a pretty large catalog of pretty diverse fragrances, but along with them, they all have their own story written by an imaginary author. Mm-hmm. So instead of like the typical fragrance copy that you get of like this, you know, sensual fragrance has notes of rose and this and that, you have a story that is written about a certain time, place, location, and person that brings a fragrance to life and like all of the elements of the fragrance into it. And it's just a whole nother way to approach fragrances, and something that I think really stands on its own as a completely new idea. And I really love it, because we talk about fragrance and memory and storytelling and this and that, and it really does all of that in a beautiful way. And storytelling aside, the fragrances fucking rock. Like, I really, go through the discovery sets very often, and each and every one of them is just like a joy to wear.
Yeah, I feel like I've smelled so much of their catalog on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do be wearing it. So yeah, we have Josh from Imaginary Authors today, and I think we should just get to it.
Let's do that.
My name's Josh. I'm the perfumer for Imaginary Authors. I use the word perfumer very lightly. I'm not trained. I'm just like making it up. Winging it as I go, trying to figure out how to utilize all these materials so that stuff smells unique and interesting for this like pretty intense perfume market that we've got. But I also want to make stuff that's like, that's really wearable, and it's something that is craveable, something that you want to, you know, enjoy. Not maybe as a signature scent all the time, but something that is really intriguing.
I love that you said craveable.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I want to make perfume, you know, for art's sake. I mean, I think a lot of the comments on my Facebook page would say otherwise, but
never listen to the commenters.
Yeah, we don't read the comments. No. Rule number one.
Yep.
Yeah, great, great rule to live by.
Honestly. Josh, we always start by asking our guests, what do you smell like today?
Oh, yeah. Right now, I smell like the new version of Bull's Blood. We're making a new... Bull's Blood was the worst seller in the line for forever. It was always the worst seller, but it was like one that was always commented about. It was very polarizing. People loved it, hated it. I loved it when people hated it, because it clearly wasn't for them, you know, but so many people loved it. Anyway, there is literally not a day that goes by after 2 years of it being discontinued that I don't get a request for it.
Wow.
And after we redid the soft lawn, I was like, you know, I can update this shit. I know the materials a little bit better than I did 10 years ago. And so I knew that the soft lawn could be better. And I was like, maybe we can remake Bull's Blood so that it's a little more eloquent, a little more brutal. And this is like version 26.
Oh, wow. You mentioned that you use the term perfumer very lightly. Do you want to tell us why that is and what your background in fragrance is?
Yeah, I looked into taking a bunch of classes and it seemed like there wasn't a lot of them. There's a couple of schools in France. There's more schools now than there was when I started. And I just don't feel trained. Like, I don't feel like I can say, with confidence that I know what like a nose or a perfumer knows. So I simply don't. I haven't gone to school for it. So when I started making perfume, I was like, I'm just going to sit in the basement and see what I can what I can make. I spent a year, I saved up and I just decided I was like never going to answer my phone, make like new goals. Like if I, in my head, I was like, if I sell 2 bottles a day, I can make a living at this. And then I realized like, no, I'm going to need wholesale accounts to do this. I was like, I can't just have 10 wholesale. You need a lot more than 10 wholesale accounts to like have a
business.
Right. And so where did Imaginary Authors come into play?
I like just bought a whole bunch of materials from and started making it up. And it's not hard. It's not hard at all. All you do is dilute your materials and then measure by weight and take, extensive notes. I mean, it's not tough. It's tough to like find something that you're proud to put out and then figure out how you're going to talk about it in a way that's like engaging for the world. So I made a perfume brand. I made 13 fragrances and then I started making a perfume brand and all of the images that I wanted to use and colors, which I saw what was happening with Le Labo and Byredo and Frederick Malle. And they were all these really exciting niche houses, but they were doing something brand new in the market, which was like eliminating the celebrity, right? Eliminating the flower bomb bottle and just using something lab centric. And I was like, there's no color, there's no engagement. The note lists don't make sense. I mean, I love Le Labo. Vetiver is an incense. Like Vetiver 46 is an incense perfume. Patchouli 24 is a smoke and vanilla perfume. It's crazy. So to not explain that to your customers, I mean, I don't discredit them. I love that. I actually sent Fabrice an email when I launched Imaginary Authors and said, I couldn't do this without you. He sent me the kindest response. It was so amazing. I mean, it is like really heartfelt. And so I thought if we had a really colorful, vibrant brand with stories that explained what perfume actually smelled like in the bottle with like a very like distinctive note list that didn't have like, 10 or 15 notes for top notes, then like, 8 notes for a middle note and 14 notes for the base. I don't know. I just thought we could like accelerate the process for understanding. And, so I had these 13 perfumes and I had this brand that I couldn't put together. And I called over a friend of mine who was a designer and showed him the branding. And he was like, yeah, this doesn't work. And I was like, you're here. I don't know how to do it. And he was like, I think you got to start over. And he was like, on my way over here, I thought Imaginary Authors might be a cool perfume brand. And I was like, that's amazing. We'll wrap the bottles like books. It's perfect. Let's do that. Yeah. And we spent the next like 3 hours just talking about how we could like make bookmarks and how we could use the storyline to make fake books and just sort of concepted this. And the next day I woke up and he had sent like 20 new names for perfume brands. And I was we just spent all this time.
Yeah.
I hadn't even woken up yet. And he had 20 new ideas. And now he's my business partner and we still work together today. He does all the graphic design. He's done all the design for all of the bottles and he owns part of the business. It's a great friendship.
Nice.
That's wild. I love that. It's funny that you talk about how a lot of the Byredos and the Labos are so like lab centric and clinical and yours is so colorful. Often when I see a brand that plays with as much color as you do, it starts to become like a clanger and sort of hard on the eyes, but your whole brand portfolio works so well together, even though and I love color, don't get me wrong, but you sort of throw everything in there and it really does work. So, him or whoever is doing it is really killing it,
Yeah, his name's Ashad. He's the best. And I really appreciate that. It's really not easy. It's not easy because what we're doing with Imaginary Authors is not complicated. We're not selling imaginary author. We're selling fake books that aren't books. There's a lot to take in, you know? And I think it makes a smart customer. So I think that the people that we have are already ready to be engaged with something. I think it was a lot of luck that like this, the concept and Perfume worked together so well.
So much of perfume marketing is storytelling, but like, I feel like so many traditional perfume brands are just like not very creative, like in the formats that they use storytelling. So like when I first learned about your brand, I was like, oh, that's super clever that someone would just take like the most imaginative parts of perfume and like emphasize that.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that when you say that you're not a perfumer, I was like, oh, this makes perfect sense because you're not affected by like the traditional perfumery formats. So it's like, that's how creativity happened.
Yeah. I was like, who can tell me how much lemon or sandalwood to use? No one. Yeah. No one can tell you that. It's also pretty important to like try to make it as it's really easy to go full twee with what we've got.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we want to make it elevated. Each perfume needs to be a book title. I mean, there's so much that goes on, you know, this goes into it. Yeah, it's intense.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do you come up with the scents first or the titles first?
I love this question. And I love it because I feel so strongly about it. The scents have always come first, except with Decisions, which was a limited edition. And I had this tuberose and this idea, but I hadn't put the perfume together and I'll never do it again. We'll never do this.
Why?
It's just hard to work the other way. Like so much perfume is less about the notes than it is about the feeling that you get when you smell it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could have a jasmine and you know what a jasmine smells like. But then I could say you have a really springtimey fun jasmine and you're like, oh, that's so, so much different than like a heady sensual jasmine. And that works with every scent there is. So once you have the tone and the vibe, then you can start talking about the story. Most recently with In Love With Everything, I had this like raspberry accord and it didn't really come together until I saw a visual that Ashad had put together for something entirely different with this Miami vibe. And I was like, ooh, I was like, if we put some like coconutty sweetness in this, it's going to be very cool, like very, very cool. Like I didn't have a place for it. So that was kind of a time where it worked both ways. But Ashad's not really a scent guy. And so... Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes he doesn't really have a sense of what is going to be helpful for the perfume. I think that marriage works really well for us together. So like he often will have like a different color palette in mind but those like slight differences, I think, make a very beautiful pairing.
That's so cool.
I feel like in any creative relationship, creative partnership, a healthy balance always makes a better product. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I definitely feel that. I definitely feel that. Most recently, Ashad was like, because we just found a handful of bottles of the Decisions. I found like what I thought was leftover juice. We need like a little bit of leftover juice in case bottles break or we have like bad atomizers so we can replace them for customers.
Mm-hmm.
Except it wasn't juice. It was like concentrate. And I was like, oh shit, we've got, this is like, I don't know, 50 bottles or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we put them up on the website and they were gone before I woke up. Like,
oh my God.
Come on, it's 7 a.m. and I woke up at 8. It was crazy. And so recently Ashad was like, we should take that root beer note, make it with something. I was like, no, we can't, not making, it sounds so bad. What are you talking about?
I love that. I mean, Sable and I have talked a lot about your brand, sort of with the entire lifespan of this podcast, the 2.5 years we've been on. But for maybe the uninitiated, I'm wondering, how do you describe imaginary authors to someone with no knowledge of the brand?
I'm really bad at it. I'm really bad at selling the brand. I'm really bad at talking about the elevator pitch. Most people, when I meet them, I just say I make perfume for a living and sell it to little boutiques.
That'll do it.
I mean, the truth is, it is ridiculously fun to be able to make perfume. And there's like very little problems. Like, if people are upset, usually more perfume helps saves the day. It's awesome. And the people that want it generally just love it to death. It is so, so crazy to have like such incredible customers, people that buy it. You know, it's just sort of incredible. So I don't feel like I need to justify it to anybody, but I do. But for people that are really interested, I mean, I love talking about perfume. I love talking about the raw materials. I love perfume because I was a fan first. So I had hundreds of fragrances before I got into making it myself, just as a, you know, an obsessive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you have one in particular that made you obsessed with perfume?
Oh, gosh.
Is that a tough question?
That's the greatest question.
It's a tough question for me too.
Yeah. I just did like a tour around and went to a bunch of retailers. And that is my favorite question when someone is a perfume obsessive. Because there is but there's typically like a perfume that changes your perception of what this is all about, you know?
Mm.
I guess there's a few. I was sent a perfume. Oh my gosh, this is only happening because it's on a podcast, but I was sent a little sample of a different company. It's a melon and incense perfume.
Whoa.
And the name of it is, oh my gosh.
No pressure.
No.
I like recently bought a bottle of it. I couldn't find my original sample, so I bought a big ass bottle of it, and it's like one of the very few in my bathroom, and I cannot think of the name of it. It'll come to me.
Okay. Yeah, we can circle back on that.
So crazy. It blew my mind. I remember it so vividly. I was like driving from Oregon to the coast, from Portland to the coast, which is an hour and a half. And I remember getting in my car. I remember being in the car. I remember getting out of the car, all because of this perfume that I was smelling for the first time. And it was so different than anything I'd smelled before. So, such an epic memory. So cool.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. You guys got to tell me yours.
Okay. Say what you got.
Mine are boring. No, they're not. Donna Karan Cashmere Mist.
Yeah. Killer. Nice.
And Chanel Allure. Cashmere Mist because my mom wore it.
Uh-huh.
And to me, it was so different than the traditional perfumes out there. I mean, like my formative years were the late 90s, early 2000s. And like perfume was still like pretty limited. It was a lot of just like department store counter stuff. And to me, that was very different.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chanel Allure was the first perfume that was mine. It was given to me as a gift from my mom. And every time I wore it, I would get like insane compliments.
Wow.
So to me, I was like, this is the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think mine, Sable, you've heard this 100 times. I'm sorry, but I also have two. I would be the original John Varvatos.
Oh, yes.
And I think you can see this through line through everything else that I like, but it's warm and leathery and spicy and sweet and just all of these like enveloping, comforting notes. And I mean, it was like a department store fragrance counter scent. And I got it when I was like, I don't know, 15. And, you know, the counter is just an uncomfortable place for anyone to be because you're getting assaulted by these people trying to sell you something. And like, especially back then, all of the colognes were, you know, so hyper masculine. And it was just an intimidating world for me to be in. But I found that one and I was like, oh, like, this is why people like fragrance. Like, this is how I'm supposed to feel about something.
Yeah.
And I still love that fragrance to this day. And I think my other one is the original Marc Jacobs for men. It's funny because I like never wear men's fragrances anymore. But that original Marc Jacobs is just so like wet and just like rainy and beautiful. And I truly don't know. But every time I put it on, I'm like, oh, this is a smell that I will love for the rest of my life. You know, like it's so hard to describe, but I love it so much. So yes, those are mine too.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I need to smell like Jacobs. I want to smell that wet experience.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's really, really good. Sable, you've smelled it, right?
A long, long time ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you both have homework now.
Yeah, I love homework.
So, okay. What I'm curious about is if you took the fragrance out of the imaginary author's equation, which I know like you can't do because you're a fragrance brand, but you, I feel like you've built this entire world around the scents with its own storytelling, literal storytelling and characters and imaginary authors and locations. And that is fascinating. And then when I noticed that they sort of, some of them start to weave through each other, like its own like Marvel Cinematic Universe, I am really, really inspired by that. And I really love that. I would just love to know like where that inspiration came from and how you do that for every fragrance.
Well, first of all, the stories are really meant to give you the tone and vibe and experience that you should get when you wear the perfume. Like you should read the stories and think, oh, this perfume is for me during this time. Like if you want a cabin where you're drinking bourbon by the fire, in the winter, you should try Memoirs of a Trespasser. Like, it should evoke all those things, and it should help you understand the experience of wearing it. And then tying them together, initially, Shad and I argued about this because this is how I explain it to non-perfume people, that having a perfume brand is sort of like having a bar. You have a version of a lavender perfume, or you have a version of a old fashioned. And then you need to kind of create your own spin on that and make it drinkable and unique. And so I thought we should have the same author. And I guess that's what's happened over time. But like the same author for Fox in the Flower Bed is going to have a new, because she's Alpine, and our next perfume will be, you know, Alpine inspired. So it'll be sort of, even though the note list will be different, it'll be the same location and tone. Violet Disguise was a plum and amber, and the same author wrote Yesterday Haze, which is a fig, like a you know. So I wanted to keep this if the perfumes have the same tone, then they have the same author. Like, for instance, the same author who wrote, you know, Memoirs of a Trespasser also wrote Cape Heartache and Oh Unknown. And those are, you know, spices like Gaiac wood blended with vanilla. So Cape Heartache is pine and vanilla. Oh Unknown is black tea and vanilla.
Okay, this is making sense. I love that. It's just so fun to sort of like, especially with the discovery kit, spray it on in the morning or whenever, and then read the story and sort of like place yourself in that world.
Yeah, I mean, it's infinitely fun. I mean, it's even more fun to make them. I mean, thank you for saying that.
As you're telling us this,
yeah,
and like in my head, I was like, surely the stories come first, but now that I know it's reversed, like how do you create these like kind of linear narratives if the scent is the one that comes first? Are they kind of like autobiographical and then you build them out in the narrative?
Well, once you smell in love with everything, and then what I do is I like give a shot the scent, but also like a Rolodex of images and videos so that he understands like the tone. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, it's super crazy fun. It's very playful. You would like wear this all day long. You could wear this to a nightclub. You could wear this to the beach. You could wear this. And then that sort of gets turned into, oh, it's a party vibe. Oh, it takes place in Florida with these notes. And so that's where the stories get, you know, their foundation. From the tone and vibe and spirit of how you should wear the perfume.
Okay.
That's so cool. I think I like it better knowing that the scents come first, because I feel like when I listen to interviews with songwriters, and that's often a question, like, does the name of the song come first or does like the music come first? And I feel like it's always so weird to me when they're like, I wanted to write a song called this, so I wrote it. Like, I don't... Or if I'm like writing an article and I have this like banger of a headline that I know is going to go crazy with like SEO or whatever, it's always harder for me to write through it than if I'm just like actually writing to write it and then naming it, you know?
Same. Yeah. I totally feel that. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, so the naming, so I make a perfume and then I give it to Ashad, and we go through all of the stories and talk about it for a long time. And then he'll send over 30 names. And then we just like start breaking them down. I think In Love With Everything was like right out of the gate. Like that, it may have been the only name we considered. It was like spot on, so fun right away, just from that initial conversation. And that's happened a couple of times. But like Oh Unknown, for instance, we had, I mean, 100 names, and I still don't know if we got it right. It's
Do you ever give a shot a scent and then he interprets the tone like totally differently than what you originally interpreted?
Oh my gosh. I mean, that is not acceptable. So like it really has to match.
Yeah.
Like they really need to meld. It's worked where he has written a story and I've been like, we need to adjust this and this.
Which, do you remember the first one you made?
The first perfume I made was Bull's Blood. I was really, really into like dark, deep animalics. Like I thought this was the future of perfume. Yeah. I made stuff that I like wanted to not be wearable. And then it didn't take long when I started making the brand that I thought, well, we need to make this stuff, you know, craveable. But like initially I was making like really like horror-based scents.
I love that idea.
Oh, it's really fun to come back to Bull's Blood.
And
now I'm trying to make it like, you know, very elegant and still retain the animalic element, so that
people,
it's...
polarizing.
People should fear your scent, I think.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Too many scents that smell nice. I think we need some evil scents. Like, you need to make some evil scents.
We've smelled some evil scents, and I don't know if we need any more.
There's a spectrum of evil.
Girl, that is the spectrum. Josh, have you, we're going to talk shit on this fragrance every quarter. Have you smelled Secretions Magnifique?
That is vile. That smells ominous.
I don't know. It doesn't smell that interesting to me. Like, it doesn't smell like I want to wear it, and it doesn't smell like semen, really. So it's like, it misses the mark for me on the brutal, on the interesting, on the wearable. It like misses all those marks.
We've said several times on this podcast that semen smells like bleach.
Never would the guests say
I was not the first one who brought it up, so I can say that. But do you remember the Lady Gaga's first perfume fame?
And I've never smelled it. I haven't smelled it.
I have not either, but
I have.
We spoke with, he was at Coty originally, I think, when they made it, Coty made it. And he was basically like the go-between between Lady Gaga and the perfumers and the creators. And she wanted it to smell like blood and cum. And obviously, like, a brand like Coty is like, well, no, we have to sell this. So, like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then wasn't
that amazing? I love that. I want to read the whole book on that. That is like so fascinating.
But he did mention they did like actual what is it called? Like gastrotomy, I can't say that word.
Yeah, GC. Yeah.
Yeah, GC. There you go. On like actual human specimens.
Heck yeah.
To try and get
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and she's still in the campaign and like the rollout. She still said it smelled like blood and cum.
Yeah, well, and so she would say that.
I would die to like just see the Coty like execs' reactions. No, we said no.
It's a musky floral. No,
right, exactly.
I mean, blood. I mean, I don't know how it smells. It tastes
like iron,
a little metallic. Mm-hmm. You know. Like bull's blood is the only one that has like the fantasy note as the title, you know?
Yeah.
So it really needs to be metallic, you know? Like I don't want to trick people. I don't want people to be like,
yeah,
this is not bloody at all. I want people to be like, oh, it's actually bloody, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I kind of like it.
Wait, okay. So this is sort of leads into one of our questions. And one of the things I really like about your collection is there's, if not always, then usually one, like you said, fantasy note in the fragrances. And I like Burnt Match, Tennis Balls. I think Stardust is in Love With Everything. How, what are those? Like, are they a chorus? Are they just an idea?
Yeah.
I love that. I just want to know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's sort of in line with the idea of wanting the perfume experience to be a legitimate experience. I mean, who knows what patchouli and leather and mimosa smell like. Like, you probably have an idea about what those things smell like. But if I'm using an enormous amount of a mimosa absolute, you're going to be like, well, that could kind of go either way, right? And so having Stardust as a concept, which used the Urban Dictionary definition, perhaps, then...
No.
as opposed to...
The Peter Pan definition.
That works too. I love that. Super special. That's absolutely the Stardust. I mean, Tennis Ball is very specific too. It's like green and bouncy and and I want to unlock those memories, you know, any way we can. So like, if that's the color of the label or like the visuals that we use with, you know, the like the cobra and the canary, for instance, like I just wanted to really help people understand how fun perfume can be.
I love that. I feel like, I mean, I don't know, the idea of authors and authorship comes through in so much of the collection, even with what you just said with this fantasy note or notes and like unlocking a memory and sort of like hooking into that bit of that person's psyche. You know, it's like, I feel like it hits on every level in a really satisfying way.
It really stems from the idea of your first question of like, what changed your mind? You know, like what was that clue that like, and that's what I want to help people do. You know, like there's way more people that don't that don't love perfume than do love perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they can find something that they like, then and be that like drug dealer that like hands them that thing.
Oh,
I mean, to open up someone's mind and be like, oh, you can do this. Oh, this smells way different, you know? And I think imaginary authors is that for a lot of people. Like once you realize there's that world of, then I want imaginary authors to be inexpensive, to be like, you can just snag the sample sent for well under $50. Mm-hmm. You know, find a handful and hopefully, you know, a couple resonate with you.
For sure. I'd love going through your discovery sets. I've like done a full run of them a couple of times just because they're all so different. And so just beautiful. I'm a huge fan. That's what I'm trying to say.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It never gets old. It still like really hurts my feelings when someone says they don't like it.
Do you find that there are certain types of people who are drawn to your line?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I stopped reading the comments like for real. Like I can't read reviews. Like I don't watch YouTube videos. I mean, even if someone sends me one, they're like, I loved everything. Thank you so much. I still can't do it. Like I can't do it because they're like, you know, 8 out of 10. I'm like, 8?
That's a failure.
And they're like, you know, it doesn't last as long as I was like, it does last. You know, I'm like, this is so, I can't handle any of it.
That actually brings me to a question that I'm almost afraid to ask, but I am curious. You said something toward the beginning of the show that, you know, referenced there are, you know, perfume is a category that is overrun right now with sort of many brands and many people, big and small. But what is your relationship and your brand's relationship with TikTok? I'm sorry to even ask that question. I'm so sick of talking about TikTok, but we know it can make a break. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Imaginary Authors has been around for 10 years and I felt like Facebook was like a necessary evil. Like you have to have your brand on the social media accounts.
Yeah.
And then Instagram came around. I mean, Instagram was there when I started the brand, but there was a switch during the last 10 years of people transitioning from Facebook to Instagram. And then when TikTok happened, when did TikTok happen? Like a year ago, 2 years ago? When did it like?
Like 2020, hate? I feel. Like
yeah.
2019, 2020. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I hired a company to run all the social media platforms. So I don't do any social media at all anymore. Mm-hmm. Really. So we have a TikTok. I've been on it one time.
Fair.
Yeah.
We both try to stay away from it as well. I try to stay away from it. Sable dabbles.
I dabble. I consume more than I create.
Yeah. From what I understand, it like does a really good job of finding what you like and showing you more of that.
Eerily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what advertising should be. I was just like, you could probably cut this out, but we were watching like a TV show that had ads, which is so strange of an experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love ads, but every single ad was for like pharmaceutical companies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and because I spend money on ads and I know how they work and who's competing for that space, I'm like, they're fucking more like McDonald's and Coke cannot pay to be on TV because pharmaceutical companies are making so much money. That is fucked. Mm-hmm. That is so messed up. I want to see my favorite clothing brand on TV.
Right.
You know? I want to see Slumberhouse on TV. I don't want to see the pharmaceutical companies every episode. Like, show me the new burger that they've got at Burger King. I would rather see that.
I always thought it was so weird that pharmaceutical companies advertise to consumers because, like, you need a prescription. You can't just buy a drug.
They're like, go talk to your doctor. Oh my God.
Right.
And no one's doing, but oh my gosh, it's so infuriating, especially after like spending lots of money on Facebook ads.
Right.
Right. Oh. I mean, they find you wherever you are, which is usually on your phones. My Instagram targeted ads know me so well.
So well.
I don't even find it anymore.
Don't you want like, oh, you know, I love it. Like, I'm like, oh, I need new ski goggles.
Oh, no, I'm such a sucker. I absolutely love it. But then I'm like, I don't need to be buying this shit. And yet, oops, there I go.
Well, it's funny, like when I, and Sable, I'm sure this is the same for you. Like when I'm working on brand copy or whatever, and when I'm looking at anything competitive to sort of like see benchmarks or examples, it's like, then I'll get served that. And I'm like, no, yep, go away. Like, show me like pink lamps. I don't want to, yep, I don't want to see like the skincare. So sometimes, yeah, it's like, dude, that's the only time it gets it wrong.
Pinterest is sinister. The way, yeah, Pinterest has my eyeballs in a fucking vice. I just scroll and it shows me everything I want to see. And I'm like, how do you know?
We did an episode, oh God, Sable, when was that? In the fall? Oh, late summer? The ice cream one.
I think it was like late summer. And that, yeah, was my first intro to Imaginary Authors, was your Salt and Straw collab.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Yeah.
So
with
they
sent with the edible perfumes.
Yes. They, mm-hmm, sent us the perfumes and a bunch of ice cream, and we did like a live taste test kind of thing.
Oh my gosh. How did, like, I miss this? I'm sorry, I missed it.
I don't want to speak out of turn because it's, I can't remember even last week, but like, I don't know that we knew it was Imaginary Authors until like the end of the episode. Was that wrong?
No, we did.
Okay.
We did. But like, I was just more like gagged about the whole like perfume you can eat aspect.
Yeah.
Because I was like, why isn't this everywhere? And then I'm like, I don't think most people think that's normal, but like, it's just fun to eat.
So, yeah. Smells. So it was pretty, it was an honor because Tyler, who is the ice cream maker for Salt and Straw, found Imaginary Authors at Lucky Scent, thought that Imaginary Authors was an LA-based company because that's okay, where he was when he found us. And they're like 3 blocks from my workshop. They're like right around the corner. Okay. So it was amazing. But to be found at Lucky Scent is like such an honor, you know, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, he was going through all, this is the best collection of perfumes. I mean, one of the best stores in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So that was really cool. He reached out. He was like, here's my idea. I want a Willy Wonka scent bar wall where you can spray your ice cream because you can't smell frozen things. Mm-hmm. And so you create this entire new experience of eating if you can smell it. And we're missing like, you know, what is it? 70% of your taste buds or something.
Yeah.
And then something else happens when you eat ice cream, which is the fat molecules in the base, in the cream, cover your taste buds. So you can't taste what you're tasting after a few bites of ice cream.
Whoa.
What?
So having scent changes that experience as well, right? So I was like, okay, this is amazing. Let's definitely try and figure this out. So I got some essential oils that you could eat, which is a thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't, mm-hmm, you know, I don't think about it because I don't use them that way typically, but I figured, you know, I like got a list, mm-hmm, that looked at them down, made some like really shitty blends, brought them in and was like, I just don't see this working.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. What do you think about a waffle perfume? And I was like, easy. Like caramel? No. I was like, no problem. It's so easy. And I kind of only thought, like, I'm not a huge gourmand lover. So I kind of thought, if I'm going to make a gourmand, how fun to do a collab with this ice cream company that makes like blood sausage ice cream. They make like egg and blue cheese ice. I was like, this is a perfect pairing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they liked my idea of making waffle cone kind of woodier and smokier to really get that like crispy, you know, cookie element.
It is very smoky and very caramelly.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. And then a year later, this was, I think, you know, just kind of as the pandemic was winding down, they got a new PR company, like a rich New York PR company, like, mm-hmm, the real deal. Like,
yeah,
that's how we got the sense.
That is how we got the sense.
So they're doing their job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and he pitched the idea of the edible perfumes again. And so he came back to me and was like, okay, let's do the edible perfumes. Can you give it another try? And something happened where I realized, like, I can use flavors. I don't just need to use the essential oils, but essential oils would make them smell more perfumey. So I sort of like got this blend. It sort of happened in the middle. Like, you know, when you're like, are not awake yet, you're like, have woken up, but your body is not functioning. Mm-hmm. And so I brought it. And so I sort of had this epiphany and I like made like 30 bottles of these dilutions and brought them into like this Salt and Straw executive meeting and was like, okay, here's how they'll work. And it like took the room down. It was so, so fun because you could just see how you could like have a citrus and a flower. I was like really excited about being able to eat ylang-ylang and jasmine. I mean, the plume of blooms is like incredible. I mean, I can't, it's so incredible. And it has so much jasmine and ylang-ylang in it that like, I just think that if Chanel was selling it, it would be $400 for this bottle.
Right, right, right.
And it's like, it's, so the application is more, anyway, so we found this thing and initially I had made them like a little more challenging, particularly the chocolate. And Tyler is such a sweet dude. He was like, can we make this? And I was like, you just wanted more yummy? That's it? I was like, we can make it yummier. We can make a McDonald's milkshake, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what it is. It kind of just tastes like, it smells like a McDonald's milkshake. None of them taste that great. They all kind of taste a little bit sweet, which is a flavor molecule. So we took all the essential oils, and then they have a food scientist over there, and he was like, try using this. And I was like, oh, it just makes it so that it doesn't taste like shit.
It's important.
And that's great, you know. Yeah. But they don't taste, it's not a flavor enhancer. It's literally like a smell enhancer, mm-hmm. for a frozen condiment. And that's a hard sell. Like, that's a tough, mm-hmm. thing to like describe.
Yeah.
I mean, once you hear that like you can't smell something frozen, it's like you open up the doors.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think even people in like all these salt and straw lines like don't understand that concept.
Mm-hmm. I took it as a challenge, a personal challenge. Yeah. I was like, oh, I can't smell frozen things. Watch me. And I was like, okay, you might be onto something.
That was such a like funny episode, but such a hell of an edit because our fucking mouths were full half the time. So it was just like, oh my
God. This is like mouth sounds.
And we're very sensitive about like how this sounds because we wild out sometimes. We're like, as long as it sounds clean, we can fuck around.
Yeah.
And that episode, I was like, oh my God, we're just like sucking and slurping our way through this episode. But it was fun.
That's so fun.
I'll send it along when we send this one too.
Yeah. I'm not a salesperson for Salt and Straw. I don't know why I'm trying. I just want people to understand how it works because I kind of think it's like way more fun if you like, for instance, if you take one of the, like I've never used it at home on ice cream. I don't have a sweet tooth, mm-hmm. but I have them and I spray them on top of like my soda cans.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. It's not soda, but you know, I buy like the LaCroix and whatnot.
Yeah.
And spritzing them on top of the soda can, like you get the experience for the entire can of, mm-hmm. it changes the whole dynamic.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like there's definitely going to be like some new like mixologist thing where they incorporate scent into like cocktail making or something.
I mean, Salt and Straw has, I mean, I probably shouldn't even be talking about this. Salt and Straw has, you know, they spritz it on like a couple of times. And like my experience with perfume is like, fucking go for it. Like make it, mm-hmm. you know, like do 10 sprays. Because when you're smelling it, when you're eating it, it's like what you're smelling is around the, like it's what's in, it's what lands inside the cone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now I want ice cream.
I love when he was like, you can cut this out. I wanted to be like, well, we're definitely not going to.
I know. I was like, are you serious or not? Yeah. Like for legal reasons, please clarify.
I'm like, if we're getting spicy, the show is just starting. Let me
get there. Yeah.
No, that was really.
He was so cool.
We're going to Portland.
We're going to Portland. Here we go.
We'll see Claire. I really, something about them starting with the fragrance first makes me like it even more. Do you know what I mean?
That makes sense when you explained it, how it's so much more difficult to make the art to the expectation rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
I don't ever, I don't think we should be fitting me an artist, like the art to the, retrofitting the art to the idea.
Yeah.
You know, more so just like letting whatever you're doing do what it does and then, you know, put it in a box after.
And I think it's so funny. He's like maybe the second or third person we've had on who's not like a classically trained perfumer.
I would say more than that, honestly. But yes, if you are unfamiliar with Imaginary Authors, I would say get familiar post haste. I would say spend some time on the site, read the stories. They're really lovely. They sell in a bunch of different sizes down to pretty small components, pretty affordable. They also have a couple discovery sets, which are very worth your time. I'm not, you know, we're not getting any kickback for saying this. It's just a brand that I think is really fun. And I think if you haven't experienced it, a lot of the listeners of this podcast specifically would really enjoy it. So
I think so. I mean, especially people who aren't like classical or traditional, like fragrance, aren't drawn to traditional fragrances. I think it's a really interesting, creative way to approach fragrance.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the scents themselves are untraditional, but they have a structure of tradition in them. I think that was just bullshit what I just said, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. Like, they're all unique in their own way, but there is still like an oud or, you know, a dry wood or an amber, you know, like it's there for you if you want.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's really great. Cool. Also, you can eat some of them, which is neat.
Well, you can eat the ice cream fragrances. Please don't eat the perfume.
You can eat the perfume that is made for the ice cream.
We're not going to get out of this show without a lawsuit. We should end it right now.
Anyway.
Anyway, next week, depending how... Let me not. Anyway, follow us on our website, smellyoulater.live. I don't know. Why do I every episode say follow us on our website? Like, I just discovered the World Wide Web.
Because we did.
Hit our website. You can leave us a voice note that we could play on air and answer a question or anything else you want to tell us. There's also our extremely comfortable merch that you can grab. If you would leave us 5 stars in review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, that would be gorgeous. You can follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I'm at TinyBuck.
And I am at SableToothTigra.
And until next time, we will smell you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.